symptoms. The problem is a lot of times you're going to see brain fog, you're going to see joint pains, you're going to see mood dysregulation, you're going to see fatigue. You might start to get Graves' disease or have symptoms of, like a multiple sclerosis. You know, all of these things triggered by something you never guess that, you know, back when Hippocrates said, you know, all disease begins in the gut, there was some credence to that.
A podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it popping.
This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestro-fied.
3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Maestro on the Mic. Today I have a super special guest. I am so pumped about this episode. I've been chomping at the bit to record it. I got my guy Mitchell Rasmussen on. He is a chiropractor that doesn't crack backs. He's a health coach. He's a movement-based, nutrition-loving professional, and he brings so much to the table. I'm tiptoeing around the word functional medicine because we had a fun discussion before this, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Just so much coming out of this guy. He practices out of Colorado. It's a practice called Alternative Physical Medicine, bit of a mouthful there. Alternative Physical Medicine of Colorado. But without further ado, my number one guy, Mitchell, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Shante. How are you?
You know, I'm living the dream in sunny Southern California, but I am honestly super pumped, and I wanted to push this episode up in recording it just because you have so much to share and I have so much that I want to take from you. So thank you. Thank you for doing this and taking some time out of the middle of your day. What's a busy schedule? So thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So I'm going to jump right into this because I want to know, and then we'll go into your background and stuff like that. But tell me, my man, what the heck is functional medicine?
Oh, you used that word.
I did.
All right. Well, there's, you know, two models of care, really, when you look at chronic disease. There's conventional medicine, which is more of a disease-oriented approach where, I guess I like to say, in a lot of ways, the doctor is the expert. You take what the doctor says. You don't really question it. You assume that whatever they're giving you is fact, and that's just the way to go. And everyone's kind of treated the same. You're looking at very specialized disciplines within the profession. You know, you have your cardiologist that's looking at your heart. You have your gastroenterologist that's doing scopes, and really not a lot of communication between the different branches. And then what ends up going on is you get a diagnosis based on symptoms. You know, we're not looking for underlying biochemical glitches, as I like to say. We're looking at what to call something. And I always tell patients this when it comes to my movement people and my nutrition people, that any monkey can tell you what's wrong. You know, you told me that your shoulder hurts. That didn't take 8 years of school to tell you that you have a supraspinatus strain or something like that. Let's take the flip side. When you look at functional medicine, it's much more patient-centered. I think that's kind of where a lot of people don't have the time or the patience to go into it, because every single encounter is different. And we've about that a little bit, and I think we'll get into it with leaky gut. You know, someone says they have a leaky gut, and there could be 25 different causes of that, you know, and it's then really doesn't give you any idea of what's going on. And then the biggest thing with functional medicine is it's a preventative approach. You know, we're trying to see things before they become a tumor in your lung, or before they become type 2 diabetes with overrun peripheral neuropathy. You know, we're trying to see things as trends in biochemistry that could lead downstream to what we would eventually call a disease.
Man, you are speaking my language. I mean, I love it. If I was going to summarize that, it's like, hey, we're treating a human and we're looking for the cause, not just identifying or re-identifying symptoms, regurgitating symptoms that this person's already said to me. Like, I have patellofemoral pain syndrome, or I have knee pain. Oh, you have patellofemoral pain syndrome. I just told you that. My knee hurts.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. We're like, a chill pad strap.
Love it. I love it. So given that, right? That you're a true detective of dysfunction and health issues. What would you say you are? What title do you like to use? We kind of stayed away from that functional medicine provider. What do you like and why?
I guess I have a problem with functional medicine because I think it gets chewed up and spit out in a bunch of different versions. And even the word functional, we've had discussions about this, like, what is functional? Like, does it make you more human? Or what are we even saying with that word? So I'll just say, like, lifestyle intervention, preventative, alternative medicine. I'll say functional medicine sometimes, but I want to get away from with what we call it and more interested in how we get people to buy in that there's a lot that you can do that's in your control, that you're not a victim of your genetics, and that, you know, lifestyle change can mitigate a lot of the chronic diseases that we have. And I guess one of the things with, you know, conventional medicine is they're awesome. If I break my arm, don't send you to me. Don't come see me if you snap your arm. Don't come see me if you've got a leaky ulcer on your leg from diabetes. I want to see you 15 years before that.
Yes.
You know, so there's a place for everything. There's definitely a place for conventional medicine. They're way too busy with 8-minute appointments, 2,000 patients on their list to sit and talk about how your stress response might be affecting your cortisol levels, leading to a lack of activation of thyroid hormone or something like that. They're just going to see that your T3 is low, and then, you know, you'll get on some medication. So I guess, you know, it takes a lot more time to do this, takes a lot more effort, and it's more dealing with the chronic stuff versus the acute stuff.
I love that. Time and patience. A good word you said there. I love that. That's, you're treating a human. It's taking a step back. It's what everyone, I don't want to say everyone should be doing this, but it's a really ideal approach to whatever discipline you're in, whether it's physical, you know, that's my background, physical therapy, straight up chiropractic model, whatever. Your goal should be to have that time, to have that patience, so that you can really see what's going on and treat the person in front of you. Like, this is
exactly
for me to hear, because it's dovetails so nicely. You're speaking my language. It resonates very well with me. I love that you're kind of pushing against that name, because people get so caught up in a name, whether it's the diagnosis or something or the name for what you do. And then they kind of don't even really try to understand what exactly it is. It's like, oh, functional medicine. And I don't think people even know what exactly it is. So I like that you're teasing things out and actually saying, like, hey, this is what I'm going to look at. Lifestyle, right? That's awesome, man. Like, this episode already, I'm super pumped about this.
Yeah.
How did you get into this?
Well, it's actually kind of funny. So I thought I wanted, like you, and this is what we talked about when we first met, I thought the way that I could help people was to go to medical school and to become an orthopedic surgeon. I went to the University of Minnesota, Duluth. I had a prolific not. It was a football career where I spent my entire time injured, basically. So I got to spend a lot of time around surgeons. And after a ruptured Achilles in my senior year of college, I just had a sour taste in my mouth from the way that the surgeon treated me after my operation. And I was helping in the medical school with doing surgeries on rats. And we were studying the mechanisms of type 2 diabetes and how exercise could attenuate issues with blood sugar dysregulation. And I actually halted everything. I stopped my MCAT prep. I moved home to rehab my Achilles with people that were actually going to let me rehab. And I started coaching young kids in high school sports. And I started to realize that there is a way that I could help people through that. So fast forward 2 years, I started, you know, studying under Gray Cook with the FMS, and I moved to Minneapolis, Minnesota. I started, you know, doing movement with people, and I felt a ceiling that was very low on me as a, I guess, glorified, you know, as a movement coach with a bachelor's degree. So I knew that I wanted to do something. I just didn't know what it looked like. I ended up working with a few chiropractic students in Minneapolis, and they would always tell me, like, oh, you should go to chiropractic school. And I would kind of rag on it, you know, because I had the idea that you go to chiropractic school and then you crack backs and do that, and that's all you really do. You're in this lane. Well, one of the students really kind of got into my head, and she brought me to a seminar. It was called the Great Lakes Conference. I actually got to hear Dr. Mark Houston. He's a really well-known medical doctor. He's a professor at Vanderbilt Medical School. I got to hear him speak about heart disease. This was back in 2012. And for the first time, I had this picture of my life that came together all at once. And I mean, I get chills even thinking about it now. I went home from that seminar and I wrote my entrance essay that afternoon for chiropractic school. Finally had a path where I could help people, where I could affect their diet, their lifestyle, their nutrition, the way they move, their belief systems all in one. And I could go to chiropractic school and I could get the scope of practice to make it happen.
And I love hearing your story. Like, I get chills hearing it. You told me, you know, bits of pieces of it before. And I was like, hold on, Mitchell, don't say all of it because this is amazing. And we're going to say it once we're recording. That is amazing. And for the, so you guys listening out there, if you're thinking about going to school or maybe you're in school, listen to this story. Like, no, does it happen like this for everyone where they get their calling? No, but it can. And flip side, you can do so much with your degree, whether you, your entry point is chiropractic, your entry point is physical therapy, you can do so much more with it. Now, I want to kind of tease that out a little bit, Mitchell, and this concept of so much more. What does your current model look like? And did you ever receive some kickback, some pushback, I should say, from the bosses by trying to give so much more?
Well, actually, yeah, it's funny you say that. When I started, I knew I wanted to move to Colorado when I was 19 years old. I saw the mountains for the first time, and I just knew at some point in my life that was where I wanted to go. When it became clear that I had a chance to move out here to finish school and do my final kind of preceptorship for Cairo school, I began kind of setting out looking for a good spot to land. I came out here in 2016. I put my life in a Honda Civic and I put all my chips kind of in my corner, and I moved 1,200 miles from home under a premise that I could work as an intern, but there was no job for me. And that's kind of where, you know, self-belief and not putting yourself in a hole or putting yourself in a box comes into play. Like, I knew that I would make a job. And we've talked about that, is if there's no hole in the wall, bust the door down and make a hole. And in a lot of ways, that's what I did. And I believed in myself. I did the hard work for 9 years leading up to that. And I put myself in a position to be able to get a job offer. And then I started working with my boss. He's a more of a conventional chiropractor, but he's a very open to new kind of modalities. We got a lot of fun physical medicine things that we do in the clinic now. There was a lot of pushback because most, you know, chiropractic visits are, you know, you see one or two people in 15 minutes and you get a lot of volume in the door. And that doesn't jibe with me. I didn't feel like I was able to connect enough with the human being in front of me in a 15-minute appointment. So I was pretty stubborn with that. And, you know, as it became obvious that we were having some success with, you know, my stubbornness and my caring and my wanting to just really dive into all of these causative factors with these individuals, my boss was actually pretty awesome and open-minded. And just, I remember it plain as day. He just pulled me aside and he said, I want you to keep being you. We're just going to have to, you know, up how much we're charging people because it's working what you're doing with these people. And, you know, and I just, again, like we've talked about, like, stick to your guns. It's not about being stubborn and thinking you're always right. But if you really feel strongly about something, believe in yourself a little bit.
Yes. So many take homes there, like so many just life lessons there. One, you took the leap. You put your stuff in a car and drove and said, I'm going to make this work. Like, that's huge. Very few people do that because it's scary to do that. But there can be a huge rewards.
Oh gosh, yes. I mean, I was sleeping on couches. I had a friend who was a chiropractor out here that let me, you know, finish out her lease for half of what it cost because I didn't have any money. And, you know, I was, you know, I
make it work.
That if I was where I wanted to be, that the other things would work themselves out.
Exactly. Exactly. I just did a short podcast on this and talking about happiness as a home base. When you have at that foundation that you're pursuing your happiness, you're pursuing your passion, you are willing to do these other things, and the universe conspires and things will come together. Right. I mean, also your persistence there, like, this is something that clinicians out there need to hear. Just because the model is what it is doesn't mean you have to keep it that way. Push back if you don't agree with it, or if you feel, and like he said, not just to be that guy, but if you are passionate about this and you're like, you believe in this, stand for it and look at the changes that can come about. You know, Mitchell went from a model where perhaps, you know, that was the standard and it was not subpar care, but the model that he felt strongly about and that he felt he could look himself in the mirror at the end of the day, needed more time and not 17 hours, you know, it's still being reasonable.
Yeah,
and you
right.
stand with that, like you stick behind it. And people need to hear that because I think that, you know, especially new grads, you just go into a model and you think this is how it has to be for the rest of forever. One, it doesn't. You might have to leave your current place, or you stay like Mitchell and sometimes things work out. And that's, I love hearing that. I love hearing that.
There's a lot to kind of unpack there because I think about, and I talk to a lot of younger people that, you know, I'm trying to motivate to go outside of what they're currently comfortable with. And I think passion, that's an interesting thing. I think a lot of times we, you know, we want to follow our passion and we don't realize that it's going to take some doing some things you don't want to do. You know, I have a pretty strict schedule where I have these worked in study times throughout the day because I'm busy. And, you know, would I rather go sit out in the sun and enjoy kind of some, you know, a beer or something? Yeah, probably sometimes. But, you know, there's certain things that I, you know, that you have to do if you want to get what you want. Like what you always say to me, you always say to everyone, you know, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting pretty much. And I think sometimes we get that misconstrued, like your passion has to be all fun and, you know, a lot of the dirty, unsexy stuff that goes into being able to, you know, design this life that I had, you know, the 11 years of studying beyond Cairo school and all these things. Like now you get to see the, you know, in some ways, a semblance of a more finished, more polished. That's not how I got here. I got here by sucking at this.
Exactly. Let them know, man. Like people see this, they reach out to me and they ask the same thing. And it's just like, yeah, I have this great life now and it is my passion. I'm living my best life, but this is not how it starts. You have to go through those crappy phases. And, you know, for me, it was being in PT school. I hated it. When I first started working, I hated it. Yeah. And then some of the things you're just like going through the grind to get to that next level so that you can be doing what you want to do. You got to do what you got to do until you can do what you want to do.
I like that. You're going to need to quote that. Make that a little maestro, daily maestro.
I think it actually has been one.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Or maybe just a quote. I've definitely put that something along those lines up. But a day in the life of Mitchell. How long are then all your sessions now? And like, what is if I was a patient coming to you? What? And I know that's a very big question, but roughly, if I was a patient coming to you and I had some issues, what is that going to look like?
So, you're talking with like some metabolic issues or.
Sure. Like just in general, like how are your appointments set up? You have 30 minutes per person. You have an hour for evals. What take me down the beginning of that. Let me into your brain.
Okay. Well, that's a scary place, but if you want to come in and do, so I have two different parts of my practice, both the physical medicine aspect and then the more lifestyle based nutrition. With some of the people that I work with, what ends up happening is because I'm always kind of sneaking in little tips about sleep or this or that, they end up just asking like, what is this other stuff you do? Like, and I'll end up just kind of explaining to them, you know, underlying causes to some of their inflammatory conditions. And then we'll end up sitting down for like an hour. During that hour, I'm trying to get a timeline of your life from conception until today where you're sitting in front of me. And what I'm looking for is some big triggers. You know, there's never one root cause, there's root causes. And that's just the beginning. That's just getting, you know, familiar with each other. I mean, there's a very big trust issue when you are going to a non-medical doctor who's giving you health advice. There's a bit of a, you know, a stigma is about that because we're trained to think that the allopathic model is kind of the only way. So that part of that first appointment, there is a lot of just trust building and, you know, and seeing if we are a good fit. I mean, not everyone jibes with the things that I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to make some real changes. And now I think about when people, you know, how long do I have to not eat gluten? And I'll tell them, you can eat it yesterday if you want. I don't care. But the problem is it's triggering your autoimmune disease. So you do whatever you want. So I want you to realize you have the control, but I would recommend you don't because I think it's kind of contributing to how crappy you feel. After that, if I feel like it's a good fit, I'll end up sending you a history. I use an online history, just like what we learn in school. 90% of diagnosis comes from a good history. The history, in a lot of ways, re-asks a lot of the things I go through, and I want to just get it in a collated online form so I can really start to look at some of the systems within your body that could be stressed. And then I get you back in here and I tell you, do I think I can help you? How much is it going to cost? How much time is going to be expected? What types of labs are we going to run? And then if it's all systems go, I'll put you on a care plan and I'm going to see you through for about 6 months. And I'm going to meet with you every couple weeks. You know, we're going to email, we're going to do lab testing. And we're, I always say we pick them up as we see them and we put them down in order. You know, we're taking care of these triggers and then we keep digging until you, you know, we really start to find the highest upstream causes to your issue. If that makes sense.
Absolutely. Again, you're trying to find, you're not just treating symptoms. I love that you said about the initial eval though, because this is something that I try to really stress to my students and stress to people out there, just other clinicians out there. That initial evaluation is so much about building trust and empowering that patient. It's not like the traditional model and what we learn in school is like, take these measurements, see how their knee is bending, see how this is going. And there's like no rapport really built and you're treating this person like they're a table instead of a human. So I love that, you know, you spoke on that of how that first session is. Yes, it is. You are listening to a story. You're taking the time because you realize that it does all matter. If right. you have these 20-minute sessions with somebody, suddenly you have to become this like sieve and be like, oh, this doesn't matter. This does matter. This doesn't matter. Nope. And you forget that in actuality, it all matters. Because if that person sprained their ankle when they were 10 and now they have a fear of doing things and they have a lot of fear within that ankle and around that movement, that matters. But we can't see that because we're like, but what are you here for right now?
Exactly.
So much to be said with that. You mentioned about, and I have to ask, you mentioned about labs and tests. Could you, I know this is a huge question, but could you just kind of give us a 10,000 foot view of either whether it's some of the common ones or kind of what you're looking for? Just give the layman some understanding of what that means.
Okay. Well, actually, I think it's get as much as you can through your primary care doctor. And here's a little hint. Go to your doctor and say you're tired, you're depressed, you're constipated, your hair is falling out, and you're cold. And that's going to actually give you decent access to some good labs. I mean, if you want to add in, say that your mom has rheumatoid arthritis, and you might start to get some ANA antibodies and some HLA genes run. But in general, you know, if you go to your primary care and that's what you say, they'll take a vitamin D. We talk about vitamin D and, you know, it's really much more than a vitamin. It's a hormone. And, you know, we have about 25,000 genes and 3,000 of them or so are impacted by vitamin D. You know, almost every cell in your body has a vitamin D receptor, and vitamin D deficiency is even implicated in such things as intestinal hyperpermeability or our colloquial leaky gut.
Leaky gut.
Yeah, there we go.
There's my buzzword. Yes. There's the buzzword, leaky gut. Yeah,
don't even get me started. We might have to talk about that.
That's going to be a whole nother episode. I can already tell. This is so good.
I know, and then as far as what they'll run a comprehensive metabolic panel that's looking at liver enzymes and, you know, serum vitamin status. And I caution you to put too much of your stock into a serum blood lab. Why do I say that? What are they looking for? They being allopathic physicians, they're looking for a disease. So, for example, your serum B12, I have buzzing, tingling into my hands and I'm weak and my tongue is swollen, but my doctor said my B12 is normal. Yeah, well, how are they looking? It takes years and years for you to actually run through enough B12 so that it shows up in your blood. So what I recommend is try to get what's called a urine methylmalonic acid or urine MMA test. And that's pretty common. And the other couple is, you know, thyroid and blood sugar. You know, if you say for a 30,000 foot view, you know, they're all you're going to probably get is a TSH, which ironically, the TSH isn't even produced by the thyroid. And then, and I get on my soapbox with this. In 2003, the American Academy of Clinical Endocrinology came out with a paper trying to change the stance. I'm talking about the organization that guides all of conventional endocrinology. They came out and said that a TSH range should change to about 1 to 3.0. As a healthy air quote range, even though the range still sits at 4.5. What happened?
Oh.
You have a TSH of 3.1. Your doctor says you're normal. You feel terrible. You're tired. You're weak. You're constipated. Your hair's falling out, but they say you're normal. So then you're left to feel like I am broken. Something's in my head. I am weak. Again, because they're the expert. I get really passionate when it comes to thyroid disease because one in two people has a chronic disease and one in four has multiple of these. And I think a lot of times we fall through the cracks because you don't have an obvious tumor or you don't have, you know, something that you can give thyroxine for this or that.
This tangible problem.
Fasting blood sugar. You know, a good fasting blood sugar should be like 84. Yet you get to 124 and, oh, you know, Shante, you have prediabetes. You know, you're going to have to watch your diet. And then, oh, 126. Oh, you're sick. You have a disease. And it's, I scratched my head like, well, what was going on in that 10 years leading up to that blood sugar dysregulation? And you know, there's a lot of that stuff that if you can get, you know, vitamin D, a thyroid panel that would hopefully at least include some antibodies to the thyroid, as well as TSH, T4, and T3. And then, you know, looking at fasting blood sugar, that's a good start. But unfortunately, a lot of the stuff that I run, your insurance isn't going to pay for, or at least they're going to put up a big stink, again, because we're looking at prevention. And that it's hard to do a double-blind placebo-controlled trial on something that never existed.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And the hope, though, is that – I shouldn't say the hope. The reality, though, that I've seen – and I try to, you know, liken it to things that I understand. And I see people willing to pay for things when they've run out of other options.
Right.
And so like pelvic floor dysfunction, pelvic floor pain, you start to see people paying out of pocket because they're just like, please just help me. So, you know, it's unfortunate, but at some point you start to realize that one, your health is an investment, not an expense. It's like, I gotta, you know, invest in this. But speaking to that, and I hesitate to use the word functional medicine doctor, because for the people out, so I have some like a package to put this in. Would you say then that it would behoove people, because the answer for me regarding PT is yes, would you say that it would behoove people to utilize practitioners such as yourself in the same way that we utilize dentists? Like you go to the dentist twice a year or whatever you're supposed to. I don't know what the recommendation is. You also go to the dentist. You go before your teeth are falling out.
Ideally.
You go before you have a ideally, right? Ideally, you go, at least when you're young, maybe parents take you to check for cavities and kind of prevent these things. Would you say, would it be appropriate to utilize a professional such as yourself in the same way?
That's an interesting question because in a lot of ways, you know, we can catch things under the radar, but, you know, I also think that there's something to be said for how you feel. And if you're truly living your best life and you feel like you don't have aches and pains, you don't have big dips in moods, which I don't know if we're even discussing a real person at this point or, you know, a fictional idea of the ideal. You know, a lot of times if you can manage your stress, you can find joy in things that are inspiring to you. You can get good sleep. You can drink water and then generally avoid, you know, processed refined sugar, soy, wheat, things like that. There's a lot of good that can come just from that. With that being said, I track my own trends and I think it's useful to get a marker so that if something does happen and you have, you know, something that's going downhill, you can catch it a lot quicker because you have a reference point that something might not be pathological, say a liver enzyme, a transglutaminase or something. And if you can see that it's elevated 7 years in a row, but it's not yet at a level where you're going to say, oh, look, you have, you know, cirrhosis or something to that nature, you can find these trends quicker. So in that way, I think there is some good sense to be taken. Part of my issue is I think sometimes it can, for example, I don't food sensitivity test because if you go again, leaky gut, you're going to test positive in a food sensitivity test to things like red lettuce. Let's be honest, there's not a lot of antigens in an organic red leaf lettuce. But if you know, if you have a leaky gut or some other underlying intestinal inflammation, you can start to test positive for things. And then now you start to X things out of your life that might be really beneficial. You know, like when you have patients come in and, well, I'm on warfarin, I'm on Coumadin, I can't have spinach. It's like, well, you know, it's all in moderation. So I guess in some ways, yes, absolutely. I think there's benefit to just getting ahead of things, even as a young kid.
I like it. I mean, what I'm hearing from you is about the pendulum again. First off, be a good human. Try to live a generally healthy lifestyle and listen to your body. I think that, you know, I love that you're that you are cautioning against just going to, you know, provider like you that maybe doing these tests, because then people will just be maybe too focused on that. Number one, the biggest problem that I see across the board in any kind of medicine is that people don't listen to their own body. They go places expecting the doctor to tell them how they're feeling.
Yes.
And what's going on. It's like, okay, the doctor can help be like, can help you tease out maybe what, ideally they could help you tease out what may be the best plan of action, but you should be the governor, the end voice on how you're feeling. And I feel like people are so divorced from that because they don't listen to their body. So I love that you put that first and foremost, like be a good human, listen to your body. And then if you want to, you know, you are that person, that kind of Mitchell, or I mean, I'm interested in it too, where it's like, let's get established a baseline so that if things do kind of go off course, you do get sick at some point, you can, or you start to feel not so good, then you have a reference point, but not to use this as I'm going to go all the time for this and then live my life by this instead of being like, hey, this is how I'm feeling. It's one of the right. biggest problems that I have with wearables. I think that people are just living their life based on the information on this, on their watch now, instead of being like, how do I feel? Oh, and what is this watch saying when I feel this way? They're looking at their watch and then being like, oh, the watch says that, so this is how I feel.
Well,
backwards.
There's another, and you can use this. You can steal it from me. You don't even have to tell them that I told you. I call those little Fitbits osteosarcoma feeders. You know, we don't know the type of electromagnetic or in Wi-Fi based or cellular based radiation coming out of those. And now we're holding them against a bone and against a joint for, you know, 9, 10, 12, 14, 16 hours a day. So that's just a whole other topic. I am, you know, in some ways I might be overly cautious, but I don't care. My life is not less satisfying because I don't have an Apple Watch on. And mm-hmm. Yeah. So there you go with your osteosarcoma fertilizer. The other thing, sorry to bust your bubble. I bum a lot of people out with
that,
cry because we're
just making people cry.
Yeah. We don't want to acknowledge, and I'm the same way. I'm a person. We don't want that. Something we're doing might be, contributing down the line to something. There is one thing I wanted to mention when you're saying with some of this testing stuff, there's a concept that I'm sure you've heard of. It's like parking lot science or parking lot medicine. Are you familiar with that?
No, go ahead. Go.
Well, it's just the idea that when you test for things, that's where, you know, in a parking lot, you lose your car at night. Where are you going to look? Underneath the light, right? You're going to look in the parking lot where you can see. That's where you can see. Same thing with lab testing. Sometimes as we become a victim to our tests because we're so, you know, you have zonulin in your stool, you have a leaky gut. But if the symptom picture doesn't match these things, there's, you know, there's such thing as false negatives and false positives. And that's where kind of the nuance with this venture that I've gotten into really is rewarding, because everyone is different, and you have to take every lab test within the context of this person in front of you. And, you know, I don't want to treat based on a lab. And that's the biggest thing is, you know, the lab just signifies glitches. Figure out why. And that's kind of the beauty and the art of what I'm doing.
I love it. That is and I can see why people would have a draw to it. But again, if I liken it to something that I do and I understand, that would be like me solely treating based on the outcome of a special test that I perform, you know, a physical special test, right. And not looking at the bigger picture. Like it's very sexy to have more science and then be like, this is the cause. Like I could use you know, like a dynamometer or something on a person, and suddenly, you know, a dysfunction or bad number comes up on that. And then you can be like, hey, this is the cause. But again, it's like, does this fit the rest of the story? And I love that, because I think that when it's stuff we don't really understand, that's one of the reasons I brought you on here, because when it's stuff that we don't understand, we just trust. We have no, you know, kind of, we're like, well, what else do we do? Like you go and you take your car in, and if you don't know anything about it, they're like, you need this, and this. And you're like, well, I guess I need it. I don't know what else to do. Or a computer, things like that. And the problem for me with that is, at least with your computer and your car, you can replace it. It's a thing.
Right.
When it comes to our bodies, you can't. And so it's my goal with this podcast and what I do in general to open people's eyes to things and to help them educate themselves. And that's one of the things I brought you on, is like, this dude knows a lot and can be a gateway for many people, can be a resource for many people, because we only get one body and we're so careless with it at times and just trusting to other people and be like, oh, okay, they said this, the doctor said this, and yet I feel like crap still. So I love that you again bring it back to the human in front of you. And that we're not just treating based on the lab. I really like that. What you called it, parking lot medicine.
Yeah, our parking lot science. Yeah, you're looking where you can see. This is something that I noticed from you when we met, and you actually, I had some weird that cartilage clicking in my rib cage and stuff. And one of the biggest things you did, which I really admire in you, is the empowerment. You know, I always tell these people, you know, I'm not going to get you better. And then sometimes, you know, I'll get a little like, what? And it's like, well, let you realize that like this is all, and like you are totally capable of doing this. I'll guide you. You know, I do a little reading. I happen to, you know, have some understanding of these concepts. But at the end of the day, you know, I can beg you to eat this way or do this, but you know, you're going to make the move. And I always think the biggest thing we can do for these people is let them know that you can become the expert on your own body. You're in your own skin. You know, I am just a person, a guide, a shepherd on the outside that's helping, you know, kind of point direction. But at the end of the day, it's you, and it's exciting because it's you. Like who do you have at the end of the day when it's all said and done? You have you. You know, and I help these people realize how capable they are. And I think that's one of the most rewarding parts of what I do. And I just got an email from my patients a couple of days ago, and it was really moving, just talking about how, you know, you really give people hope that don't feel like they have hope from anybody else. And I think that's such a shame. You know, like I read that, and yeah, part of me was, yeah, woohoo, my ego was good about that. But the bigger message I got was, where is everyone else not doing that? Like, why is this not the norm? Like we've had discussions, like how, like movement and all this functional medicine stuff, how is this not the norm? Like, it's baffling.
Blows my mind.
Yeah. An ounce of, you know, building up a person, helping them believe in themselves can go much longer ways than giving them some marshmallow and some slippery elm bark for their gastric mucosa. You know, there's so much more involved than just, you know, giving them stuff. It's teaching them to believe in themselves.
It is. I'm cracking up at the things that you're throwing out of music. First of all, everything you're saying, my dude, is fire. I just got to say that, like, your passion and your common sense, but the fact that you have so much knowledge to back it up is so refreshing. And I am continue to be so grateful that you came on, that you're on this podcast right now. Everything you're saying, man, you speak into my soul. This is, we, you know, like you said, we've had these discussions as to why isn't this the norm? And unfortunately, it's not. But fortunately, there are providers like you pushing forward.
And I'm not going to be quiet, you know, and that's the biggest thing. My confidence comes from the ugly getting in the trenches and working and studying. You know, there's not a baseless confidence where I just, you know, people are going to listen to me. I'm a doctor and all that. It's the confidence comes from putting in the time. And, you know, I think that's where we kind of are similar, is like we have this faith in ourselves to help other people because we've done the work and we continue to do
exactly
the work.
It's not unfounded.
Right.
I got to ask you, my guy, can you please go down the rabbit hole even just a little bit of leaky gut? We've been saying that buzzword. I think people listening are like, well, talk about it more. I have it. I'm just told I have it. Can you just say some stuff about it?
Okay.
Well, share some knowledge.
Well, let's start.
What is it?
Yeah, so a lot of this might be redundant to a bunch of people, but I think it's still good just to get out there. So technically, the GI tract from the mouth to the anus is a hollow tube that's outside of the body. So really, anything you eat isn't actually inside of your body. It's going through this, you know, 30 or so feet of squiggly gastric mucosa all the way down your body. There's, you know, two big jobs that this system has. Number one is absorption. You know, we have a single cell layer between the outside world and your bloodstream. And one of the main reasons for that is so that we can have a permeability. We can have a selective permeability to what gets in and what gets out. The other job with some of this is to be a barrier, you know, a barrier to avoid, prevent absorption of toxins. You know, part of the main reason that our gastric parietal cells make hydrochloric acid is not only to digest food, but to also be an antiseptic, you know, to help prevent foodborne illness. You know, a pH of 3, you know, it's a very good acidic area that kills a lot of the pathogens that get in our body. Because of this single cell layer between you and the outside world, it's very prone to getting kind of pissed off. What types of stuff angers it? I mean, that's when we go into, you know, stress, You could have a mold toxin that's caused an inflammatory response. We could have a heavy metal burden. You could have be an alcoholic. You could be on an NSAID. You know, we take NSAIDs as if they're candy, but at the end of the day, they're a non-specific COX inhibitor. And one of the main mechanisms of the cyclooxygenase is creating gastric mucosa. You know, the COX-1 and the COX-2. And when we eliminate the inflammation through one of the enzyme systems, unfortunately, we also stop producing gastric mucosa. What happens then? We are prone to irritation, inflammation of the GI lining, thus leading to tight junction breakdown and then allowing things into the gut. So when you say leaky gut, really what you're saying is you have these small, what I call spot welds, these tight junctions between the epithelial cells in your gut. And through all of these factors that I just mentioned, they can become eroded. And then your body ends up releasing things like zonulin and occludin and all these big words that leak into the bloodstream. And that's where we test. We test for things like that. The big issue happens is when we get the inflammation resulting from all this damage. And that's where we go with all of we've talked about this a little bit, the myriad of autoimmune conditions that are triggered by a leaky gut. Does that make sense?
Yes, totally. I'm sorry. I had muted it because I was coughing. Yes.
And I guess I think a lot about, you know, when we talk about leaky gut, like what is the cause? What is the cause? And a lot of times even sugar, you know, simple things as a high sugar diet, having a food allergy. And I always, you know, mention the do's, the dairy, eggs, wheat, and soy, the four most common food allergens. You know, eggs can be great if you can absorb them, you know, if you don't have a problem with them. One of the issues when we talk about leaky gut is a lot of times you have, you know, couldn't it be so nice that your symptom of leaky gut is diarrhea and massive stomach cramping after you eat certain things? The problem is a lot of times you're going to see brain fog, you're going to see joint pains, you're going to see mood dysregulation, you're going to see fatigue, you might start to get Graves' disease or have symptoms of, you know, like a multiple sclerosis, you know, all of these things triggered by something you never guess that, you know, back when Hippocrates said, you know, all disease begins in the gut, there was some credence to that. The problem a lot of times is that it's an extra intestinal manifestation. It's issues arising outside of your symptoms within your GI tract being triggered by this delicate little system known as your gastrointestinal system.
So what I'm hearing, and I think what, listeners may hear is there, and this is what we see with movement, right? And pain. There can be a crap ton of causes for this.
Right.
But, and as it relates to movement, when someone writes into me and they're like, hey, why does my knee hurt? And I'm like, I don't know. It could be a bajillion things. I don't know. Until I assess you, I don't know. But with certain things, I can, if I had a gun to my head, I could say, you know what, try and clean this up. And this tends to catch a lot of stuff and will get you on the right track. Is there something like that that exists for what you're saying? Because I mean, at the end of the day, it's like you have things going on. You need to go in and get assessed. Like bottom line, you know, assess, don't guess. But is there some sort of starting point where like, hey, try this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I always, you know, we talk about gratefulness. I talk about a lot of times with patients that we are creatures of habit and creatures of momentum, and we do what we did yesterday because it's easier than doing something new. So I think it all starts, you know, before we go to bed. We talk about, you know, blue light being a hot topic right now with people. And yeah, I have my dorky glasses. The moment the sun goes down, my yellow glasses go on. Despite the fact that I've turned all my light bulbs in my place to blue blocking lights and I turn my TV down and all of those things, I still, you know, want to limit the amount of blue light exposure that I'm getting when the sun is down. So what that does, you know, it helps my circadian rhythms kind of stay balanced, and it helps me get into more of a restful state to be able to get my, you know, 7 to 9 hours, ideally, of sleep. So then I start, you know, the night before, I think about that, you know, what are you doing around your sleep hygiene to get in bed, you know, ideally around when the sun goes down. I sleep from 10 to 6. That's kind of where I'm in bed, from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. And my alarm goes off. I have two alarms that are they're separated by 5 minutes, and I lay in bed and I do my morning breathing routine. And
Good. You're doing your breathing. Good. Yep.
And that's where I was. I wrote it down. I need to tell you that every day for 7 years, pretty much, I've been doing this. And I tell patients that I want them to know, like, I'm not asking you to do something that I'm not doing myself and that I haven't seen success with, because, like, I'm a person too. Like, we're on the same journey together. You know, this is just a thing that I've chosen to kind of do with my existence. But I'm still a human at the end of the day. And then I call it three wins before your feet hit the floor. I want you to do your 5 minutes of breathing while you tell yourself three things that are true. And I'm very adamant on that part. I want you to not lie to yourself. You know, if your back hurts when you wake up, it shouldn't. But if your back hurts when you wake up, don't tell yourself your back doesn't hurt. You can tell yourself my back isn't hurt. Or you can say I'm strong and capable of healing, but don't lie to yourself. So you tell yourself your three things. You sit up, drink about 16 to 24 ounces of water, and then I just think, how can your day not be better when you've instituted kind of those three wins before your feet even hit the floor? And then it goes to avoidance, you know, avoiding sugar, of finding your triggers. If you don't want to take the time to undergo all of this testing, look up Google an elimination diet. You know, find a reputable player in the functional medicine world and just see what an elimination diet is. You start there, go for about 6 weeks, and then slowly reintroduce foods. Big thing, and I caution you to take your time, is to not add too many things back all at once, because then 3 weeks down the line your depression's back or whatever is back and you don't know what caused it. Now we just wasted 6 weeks of really hard effort. Some of the most common things that I try to get people to remove are the muse, milk, eggs, wheat, and soy, processed sugar, alcohol, coffee is, you know, we don't need to get into the coffee. That could be a whole nother podcast at some point, coffee and mold and all of that. And then I also want you to remove tree nuts and peanuts, and then fish and fish. That's kind of, you know, going out there a little bit. I don't necessarily make people get off that. You usually know if you have a shellfish issue. Track your symptoms, and you best believe your symptoms aren't, did you have diarrhea? No, your symptoms are, how is your mood? How is your joint pain? You know, tell me about your energy level. Tell me about your desire to go outside and do things. I'm looking at your lifestyle, because how you're pooping is just one piece of the picture. And I think sometimes we just think we have a food problem if it causes overt gastrointestinal symptoms. And I know I've said that a few times, but as I can't stress enough, it's looking at you all around, not just your gut, when you have possible gut issues. So that's where I would start, is, you know, be more grateful, get some sleep, drink more water. You know, avoid processed, refined carbohydrates. And really, I can't stress enough, like, be grateful. Like, you exist here and now in one of the coolest times ever to be in existence. And we're going to mope around because our iPhone has bad service and we can't send a text, or our, you know, our pay-per-view went out because too many people were, like, there's so many first world things that we get upset about. And I get it that, you know, your perspective is all you have in a lot of ways. But I just, you know, I try to really encourage you to just be thankful for everything that you have. And it's amazing what a little bit of that, how far that can go towards your overall health.
I love it. You know, I came into the episode, and I think that people, I'm still going through my head right now as to what I want to title this. But when people hear that word functional medicine, they think science, they think numbers, they think tests. And you've broken it down as an entry point of, hey, one, check your sleep. Two, eliminate, stop adding. I think people are really keen to add stuff. You're already stressed out. You're already doing too much. And now they're like, can you give me a pill? Let me add something else into my routine. You're saying take away. Let's eliminate. That's elimination diet is, you know, what you use there. But let's take away. And the third big thing that I took from that is pay attention. Pay attention to your, what's going on, what you're feeling. Track stuff instead of just trying to attack it. Track it. Let's see what's going on. Look at that. Like, let's start when and figure out, see is where we're out, establish a base. I think for so many people, it comes down to time too. And they're like, I want it to be better yesterday. Well, you know, and that's where you set those realistic guidelines. Now that you said that 6 month number in the beginning, because things are going to take time. It took a habit to get into this. It's going to take a habit to get out of it. So let's establish a baseline. Let's really get in tuned with what you're feeling, and then you can start that journey. But I love that as an answer of, like, you just again said, let's just try to do what we can to be a better, more grateful, simpler human.
And I always like to remind you that if this was easy, you might as well wait next week to start, you know. And I say that all the time because, you know, people are looking for that quick fix. And I have, you know, they'll fill out their questionnaire. You know, what is the big thing you're looking for? I'm looking for a supplement to help with my anxiety. Okay, if that's the case, go take lavender. Let me know. You know, I would probably test your estrogen levels every 6 months, but go ahead. You know, take some lavender and see if that works. But if you're looking for really trying to get to the root of it, it is going to take much more than that. And it's going to take more than a week. And, you know, and a lot of times we start treating, and just like you'll notice, I'm sure with, you know, someone comes in with generalized hip pain, and then 2 weeks later, they are right there on the greater trochanter. I have bursitis, you know, things start to change, kind of tease themselves out as we go. And that 6 month mark really, you know, lets me take a breath and just, we got time. And it lets me kind of really get in there with you and start to change some of these triggers. Because if I'm going to help you create a healthy habit, you best believe it's going to take a lot more effort than, you know, 2 months of thing. You know, they say it takes 28 days or whatever to make a habit, maybe, but to make a true lifestyle change where you're willing to never go back, where you're willing to connect with the reasons why you've made these changes, and you're able to see the benefits of making those changes, that's where the real magic happens. And that's where, like, I pinch myself sometimes, like how I've convinced somebody to pay me to do this.
Yes, I love it. I love it. I mean, talking about that time frame and things like that, I try to relate to six for the listeners out there and kind of think, oh yeah, I see, I understand. Like for PT, I tell people that coming in with severe SI joint pain, they've had it for a minute. You know, I have a woman I'm working with right now. I told her, give yourself a year. I'm not saying expect to be in pain this bad right. for a year, but things will change during that time. But it takes time to establish new habits. It takes time to create new neural pathways so that we're dissociating pain and movement. Like it takes time for all of this. So don't expect this thing to come about and this magical fix that doesn't exist. And it's going to be no different when someone's coming in, and definitely no different when someone's coming in for these bigger problems of, I have depression, I have sleep issues, I have leaky gut, whatever, these bigger, you know, systemic inflammation, these big things, it's going to take time. Can you tease out, I have to ask, Mitchell, people that come, so we've had leaky gut, that's a, you know, a hot topic item. Sleep, that is a big issue with people. I think people underrate it and until they can't sleep. When you have people coming in and their main complaint is, I don't sleep well. Maybe it's not bothering them so much, but they're like, yeah, I don't sleep well. Like I wake up a bunch of times or like whatever. And I get that that is a symptom, not a cause. But what are some things that you're looking at? What are some things that you tell to your patients?
So if, let's just talk as far as testing goes. One of the first things that I'm interested in is your stress response. You know, I laugh sometimes. We talk about, I have adrenal fatigue. And really, what is adrenal fatigue? Well, if you're saying you have adrenal fatigue, you probably have hyperactive adrenals. You know, we have high cortisol with adrenal dysregulation, and we want to call it fatigue. Well, at the end of the day, fatigue means lack of that. So, you know, I just kind of, as a side note, sometimes I have adrenal fatigue. It's like, well, actually your cortisol is, you know, 48 in the morning. You're definitely getting an adrenal response. So one of the main things I'm going to look at when it comes to with not sleeping is going to be that stress response. It's going to be generalized inflammation through homocysteine, high sensitivity C-reactive protein, things like that. And then blood sugar. You know, I'm interested in is, are you getting a hypoglycemic swing in the middle of the night? Which is causing you to awake because your cortisol bumps up at 2 hours too early to be able to, you know, kind of stir you out of your bed. Is there, and then the other big thing is, you know, have your bedroom for two things only. And I think that's really important. We want to sit in our room on our computer all night. And then we have a weird relationship with this thing that's meant to not serve as our home office. So I, you know, I'm big on, you know, make your environment cool. You know, I turn my AC on at night, even sometimes in the fall, because I want to keep it around 55 degrees. I'm going to eliminate the light coming into the room because I don't want it to stir me up with a parking lot light in the middle of the night. And then the big thing is get your devices, your iPads and all that, get them out of your room. You know, treat that place as something sacred. And I think a lot of times if we can fix your relationship around the idea of a third of my life is meant to sleep. What if I was a jerk to myself for a half of my waking hours? every day and I didn't respect the process of, you know, being a happy human. Like, that's kind of what you're doing when it comes to sleep. That's a third of your life. It's meant to be a big part of what you do. And a lot of times we just treat it as that thing that we do at the end of the day. But I treat it very much as it's an event in my day that helps restore my hormones to their natural level. It helps clear out inflammation. You know, we can someday talk about autophagy. It helps my cells start to clean themselves and things like that. And, you know, when I get into that deep non-rapid eye movement sleep, that's when a lot of this nourishment occurs. So I think it's about, you know, getting someone to understand how important it is. And that's hard, I'll be honest, because they want to, okay, go take Unisom. You know, I don't have a quick fix for anything. It's not, I don't work that way. And I feel bad sometimes, but then I'll remind you, if I had a quick fix, I would be charging you.
Exactly. Exactly. I would be charging you so much money. I wouldn't need to do this.
Right, yeah.
I would do it. You know, it's not like I'd be living on the moon or something. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. Like, it's, we say it for PT and stuff too. I love that answer because once again, you've circled back to the same kind of answer that you gave with leaky gut, which is look at your stress, be your better human, eliminate some of this stuff in your diet, like, and be grateful. Like, what are you doing during your waking hours? How are you viewing sleep? How are you viewing these hours when you're awake? What are you doing during that? Because that's going to affect what happens when you sleep. And then, you know, just like things you can do is, what are your stress levels like? What is your diet like? Are you getting these blood sugar swings because, you know, maybe you're having things you shouldn't be having? And it's so interesting because you are in a field where there is so much technology, so much science. But there's also at the heart of it, a very simple, and when I say simple, I don't mean easy, a simple solution of, you know, let's try to become a more, I don't want to say better because it makes people feel bad that they're not a better human, but let's try to be more human, right? Let's try to be more human. Let's be cognizant of, let's be present. Let's be grateful for what's going on. Let's be mindful of what we're taking in. Let's be mindful and aware of the stress and the things around us and how we're reacting to that and the stuff that we're creating, right? It's huge. It's like the answers you're giving. Like, I think people, they want something easy. They want to take a pill. They want to know that it's because this level is off. And so then if I put this thing, then my levels will be back again and then I can be better. When, you know, we know that that's at the end of the day, it's not it. It's because you're super stressed out about this. It's because you're unhappy about this thing. It's because your diet isn't so great. And maybe you're eating because you're unhappy about this thing. So we see that interrelated nature there. But I love that at the heart of what you're saying, and I'm gonna actually say this, because before we started recording, you guys out there, Mitchell thanked me for bringing him on the show and was just like, you know, I met Mitchell a year ago, roughly, when I taught him at Project Move, and I taught the rock tape course there. And that was really the extent of our interaction. We've texted a bunch since then and we've been in communication, but, like, you know, I don't like go back 15 years with Mitchell. And Mitchell was basically like, thank you for inviting me on to this, because you don't really know if I'm, you know, what I'm legit, saying is legit or if I'm a quack or what. And for me, it was just that I've spoken with you enough that I understand your intentions and that you're so clear about it, that you just want to help people. And the fact that every time I've asked a question, you keep bringing it back to that. It's not like, oh, well, I'm going to go into this lab and then I would look at this lab. It's like, hey, I'm looking at this human in front of me and I'm saying, here's these basic things. Here are some labs we can do to kind of confirm this and kind of give you objective markers about this and kind of confirm this that we think is going on. But, like, you are providing people right now with this, what you're saying, with such eye-opening solutions, and that wouldn't benefit you. Like, they're not going to pay you to be more grateful. Like, you're giving them this, you're empowering them. That's what I'm trying to say. You're empowering them. And that is why I could tell from the first time I met you and then from subsequent interactions we've had, yeah, like, you're legit, because your ultimate goal is to empower and help people. So I thank you for everything that you're sharing right now, because it is, I got chills, man. This is so, so awesome to me. I can't wait to put this episode out. Thank you, Mitchell.
Well, thank you. And you just gave me goosebumps. And so there's two comments I want to make to that. Number one, with that book that I told you should read, yes, kind of start to realize that, well, at the end of the day, there's a lot of the same causes for whatever it is. And I think a lot of it is you're less human, you're less in touch. And so I do give a lot of similar answers a lot of times, because there are root causes to a lot of things. And then the other thing, when you talk about, you know, people want a pill and this and that, and the thing that makes me feel so lucky, and that sounds kind of just douchey in a way, but really it makes me feel so lucky because I can start to teach these people why these things matter. And they're not looking for a quick fix anymore. They're looking for the long game. They're looking for, you know, the lifestyle of having this happiness and these things in their life that they're able to have because they didn't take a quick fix. And I think that's one of the coolest things I'm able to do with these individuals is show them how rewarding this life can be. You know, and out of that funk or out of that mindset that I have something wrong with me, I have something broken, I need to be fixed. At the end of the day, we're humans, we're people. We can't expect to find happiness in the bottom of a bottle. And but the coolest part is when they start to get it, you know, and that's, you know, give them a hug and get kind of tears in my eyes in some ways, because you're looking at this human that didn't even realize how, you know, in control they really were. You just have to show.
Dude. Empowerment across the board.
And with that being said, I can do a ton of nerdy lab tests if you're interested. Like that.
I mean,
we can get
clearly. People, we can tell you were. I'm like, you were talking, and I was like, dang, this guy is really smart. Like, I love it. I'm just like, I just want to hang out with you. I don't know what half these words mean, but that's awesome. I'll learn. Like, you have the science, like you said earlier, you have the foundation to back it up. And I think that when you go down rabbit holes, like for me, my first rabbit hole was really just movement in general. The more you go down these rabbit holes, the longer you've been practicing, the more simplistic your approach will become, because you understand and you see how all these nuances have this shared commonality, this shared foundation. Yes. That if I address this, all this other stuff gets better. Like, yeah, I can do all this little stuff. I can look at your biomechanics. I can tease out the foot and the ankle and the knee. I could do it. But I've also learned that, hey, I'm treating a human. And if I just tell you to kind of look at this and be more mindful of this, you also get better. And that's my goal.
I could not have said it better myself. And that's how you look at it. You end up coming around to a certain point where, yeah, it is a little bit, you know, simplified, and it's, I don't know, that's kind of where the fun comes in this type of field.
You can only simplify it once you really understand it. Like when you don't understand stuff, you get stuck in the weeds and the nuances. But when you start to really understand things, then you're like, I can tease this apart. I see the bigger picture. I can explain this to a 5-year-old. And that's when stuff becomes really
cool. Oh, and I work with a lot of young kids with, it's funny. So I have to explain things to these 9-year-olds and stuff, because a lot of kids with ED that have dairy and, you know, lactose and gluten issues. And there is a lot of, I'm trying to help you at 9 years old see the importance in this. And, it's a tough thing to convince a little critter that, you know, I'm sorry about the ice cream, but I don't think it's working well with you.
Oh, man. We're going to do another episode. We're hitting that hour mark, and I could probably talk to you for 5 hours, but I always kind of try to keep my listeners in mind. And I'm like, are you guys driving to work? And you're just kind of, so we're going to wrap this up, but you will absolutely be brought back on. And actually what we're going to do next time is we're going to do it in person, because it's going to sound even better. Not that it sounds bad now, but it's going to sound even better. But before I wrap us up, you said that you had 2 questions for me.
Yeah. Well, actually, and on that, I'm planning on coming to the summit or the thing in Miami this fall. And I'm
let's rock stock.
Let's nerd out a little bit. I think we could get some good
content. Yes.
And just learn from each other.
Yes. I will bring recording. We will, I love it. And we will, for those of you who don't know what Rockstock is, I'll put in the show notes, but Rockstock is our annual movement summit through Rock Tape. This year it is at the end of October.
Yep.
And it is in Miami, and it's basically a weekend of learning. Let me reverse that. It's a weekend of having fun and having an experience where you just happen to also learn and get some CEUs. So awesome experience. I put in the show notes, but that's Rockstock. You head to rocktape.com to check out more. But Mr. Sorry. Mitchell.
Yeah.
What was your
question? So I wanted to ask you, are you familiar at all with the O2 trainer? And what do you think about it?
I'm not familiar with the O2 trainer.
Oh, it's a new thing.
Like a breathing.
Yeah, it's like this mouth guard type thing that you breathe through. And I know you've posted pictures of wearing tape on your mouth and nose breathing. I was just curious if you were familiar with that at all.
I am not. And I mean, familiarity with breathing trainers, again, comes from Brian. A lot of it comes from Brian McKenzie. And what I like about his approach is that he actually used to poo-poo like the oxygen training masks and things like that because he didn't really understand how they were, how it was working. Okay. And has since kind of taken a different stance on it. I really do strongly believe in utilizing the nose for breathing, the mouth for eating. And the big thing is interesting is so much of what the benefit, there are physiological benefits for sure with breathing through the nose where you're creating resistance. You're going to have more diaphragmatic breathing because of that. You're going to have your paranasal sinuses are going to be creating more nitric oxide. You get more vasodilation. You're blowing off less CO2. We look at the Bohr effect, things like that, getting more blood oxygen to the tissues. But the main effect that all of these things are people are talking about is mindset, honestly. Okay. And that's why the cold exposure and the breath, they're using these as tools to communicate with the nervous system, tap into the nervous system and allow you to, I don't want to say control your sympathetic response because you can't really, you can control your response to the sympathetic response.
Oh, wait.
Via breathing.
We have so many, I'm making so many notes of things that we need to talk about at some point. This is good stuff. My other question I wanted to say is I know you're not coming here this year, but if you ever want to come hike a 14er, I got a place for you to stay.
My man, you know I'll take you up on that. I think I might actually be out there in the beginning of August. So I'll let you know about – it's actually – we're just talking about today. Nothing was super confirmed, but we'll probably be hiking. So I would – I mean, I'll hit you up and let you know about that for sure. Anything else you want to leave the listeners – I mean, you left them with so much, but anything that you want to leave them with before I sign us up?
No, actually, I feel I'm, let's, it's, yeah, I see it's been an hour and 5 minutes. Let's feel good about it. I think everyone has like at least a place to start. And I guess hopefully a feeling that you can have a lot more control over this existence than you think you have and start believing in yourself.
From the horse's mouth. Mitchell, thank you endlessly for coming on. We're going to have you on. I'm going to have you on again for sure. Awesome. I mean, you have so much to offer and I'm so glad that you said yes. And I'm really pumped to just see what your future looks like because it's so bright and you have all that passion. I thank you endlessly for doing what you're doing. If people want to contact you, because they're going to want to contact you, if they want to contact you, follow you, whatever, what is your information?
So I'm not big on social media. The only reason I got an Instagram was because you made me and you wanted to put, you can't hustle the pulled muscle on there. So I'm terrible on social media. I think it's Mitchell Rasmussen, DC. I think I have 13 posts in the last year. I'm thinking about, I want to start doing better. Or my email. I mean, that's an easy way. Is that dangerous to give out an email?
Give out your business email. Mitchell, it's fine.
It's Mitchell@alternativephysicalmedicine.com.
One more time. Say it again.
Mitchell, M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L @alternativephysicalmedicine.com.
So for you guys in the back, one more time. If you want him on IG, that's going to be Mitchell Rasmussen, DC. He doesn't post much, but it's a worthwhile account to follow because I have a feeling that he may start posting more. And even if he does, the few things that he does post are pearls. And then email Mitchell, M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L @alternativephysicalmedicine.com. Mm. And with that, just so you guys remember one more time, he is out of Colorado. But you see that he is a wealth of knowledge and it could be beneficial for you to reach out and do what you can to connect. So definitely, if you have questions, comments, concerns, don't send them my way because I don't know. Email this young man and get your mind blown.
Thank you so much, Shante. I'm serious. Like you've been like such an accidental self-promoter of me and it just, I don't know, to have someone is knowledgeable and kind of tapped in this world as you to like kind of take me under a wing and you've really guided me a lot. And I'm serious. I can't thank you enough for all of the little things that you've kind of done for me and even just, you know, things that we text about. I mean, I really appreciate you and thank you.
It goes both ways, my dude. 100% goes both ways. I thank you endlessly. It's all about networking, folks, and connections, right? Make those connections. It's real humans out there. If you guys enjoyed this, because I know you did, because I enjoyed this endlessly. If you enjoyed it, please leave me a rating. Leave me a comment. For those of you that have commented already, Thank you. I don't know the platform well enough to be able to write back to you guys. I don't think I can, but I read the comments and I thank you for posting them. I really, truly do. So if you like it, rate it, review it. If you didn't like it, still review it and let me know what we can do better. It definitely isn't bringing on Mitchell, right? That doesn't get any better than this. So let me know. I'm here for you guys. I want to connect with you guys. Thank you, Mitchell. Thank you guys out there. Until next time, Maestro and Mitchell,